News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning, y'all. Monday morning. That's a strange little week that is in between Christmas and New Year's, which was actually an entire week this year because Christmas and New Year's landing on
Saturday,
right? Mm-hmm. So it actually was a work week, an entire work week where everybody's kind of like they're stuck in between gears. You want to go to work? Do you want to give it your all? Do you have to be in? Well, I wasn't in at all last week. You may have noticed. I would hope that you did.
I didn't realize that, Dan.
Speaking to the audience, I hope that they did. I know that you realized it, but it's so. Here's the thing, and we were talking about this Omicron being all over the place now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really the case now. So it was, and I talked about this, and you kept shushing me when I would say, I haven't even had a sniffle this whole time.
Right? Doing, tempting fate the entire time.
Yeah, I don't think that's what I was doing.
I knew it was coming for you.
I was reporting to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was just reminding myself that if I felt anything, especially once the Omicron became so widespread and it was in the news, it was being presented as it's all over the place. That was probably I was seeing more of those stories late the week before Christmas. Then I woke up Christmas Eve for the first time since the pandemic began. I didn't feel good.
Really?
So I knew, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
Because the news was telling us it was everywhere. It wasn't as scary. It wasn't going to get you all, you know, as sick or send you in the hospital more than likely.
And you had a big week the week prior. You went on a trip.
Did.
You were on a plane.
Did.
Which
did.
Are two places you can catch COVID.
Right. Airport, the plane, all that. So it was like, okay. So I it was early enough in the morning. I went to American Family Care, which is on Mont Lamar. So there were people there, but it wasn't overridden with too many folks. They were judicious in the way they had to spread out and all that. And so in any event, long story short, get tested, and the whole process took a couple of hours. They send a lady in. She's like the Nurse Doom. Mm-hmm. She was telling everybody. She said that was her job. She had to tell you, yeah, you got it. So she says, you know, you got it, and it's the Omicron.
They knew which variant it was?
Yeah.
They did, huh?
Mm-hmm. So, which was important, I think, because that way I knew that it was the lesser of what was out there. Now, look, you know, I've been pro-vaccine for myself. You can do what you want to do. But so did that lessen the effects of the coronavirus Omicron variant on me? You know, I guess health professionals would tell you it probably did. I didn't. The morning of when I felt very achy, a little bit of a headache, I didn't feel good. By the time I left, I was already beginning to improve.
Ah.
And I was texting with you maybe that evening or like this stuff. Unless somehow it's going to get worse, it's not that bad.
Yeah. When I texted you Christmas Day, I'm like, you know, how are you feeling? I said, I'm fine. Posted up, reading a book. I think you'd gone on a walk by yourself for 3 miles or something.
Yeah.
Didn't sound like you were on your deathbed.
No, I was affected by it for sure. And then the other thing we had to keep in mind was I now carry this illness that was spreading so easily.
Right.
So I could be one of those. I found this interesting too. So I went to get retested, which it turned out was a waste of time. I didn't realize that. I was trying to get retested so I could get back to work.
Right.
But evidently, if you test positive for, I don't know if it's Omicron or any variant of coronavirus, it's going to stay in your system. It doesn't mean that you're going to be transmitting the disease, but you will remain positive for a couple of weeks. I didn't know that. So it was a waste of time.
They even came out last week, which there were a lot of news dumps over the holiday week, and the CDC said it's entirely possible to test positive for 12 weeks after you've caught it. Yeah,
wow.
On the PCR test.
Okay, so that was a waste of time. Then it was, I thought this was interesting, Dalton. So the USA Health is who gave me my second test. Thanks to everybody there. They've been great all along with the vaccinations and now the testing down at the Civic Center. So he tells me, okay, so when did you first test positive? And I said, it was the last Friday morning. He said, okay, doing the math in his head. Okay, you'll be good to go Monday the 3rd. Mm-hmm. I said, hang on now, buddy. They have, I saw that they cut it in half down to 5 days because trying to get back on the job. He said, that was the CDC. That was the feds. We here in the state of Alabama haven't
updated the guidance.
No, we're not
yet.
Signing up for that one just yet. So
interesting.
It's interesting how politics plays, obviously, is playing a role, has played a role this whole time. So in any event, it's all over the place. And I think the story that we're going to run into this month is not got to do with any mandates or anything like that. That's not going to keep people off the job. Illness.
Right.
You know, now this may not be something that's going to, well, let's talk about, Scott Gottlieb is the former commissioner of the FDA. He talks about hospitalizations. He's keeping an eye on that.
Well, we clearly need to focus on the hospitalization rate and how many people are becoming severely ill. There's a very clear decoupling between cases at this point and hospitalizations and ICU admissions. This does appear to be a milder strain of coronavirus, and we also have a lot of immunity in the population. I think places that have been hard hit early, like the Mid-Atlantic, the Northeast, New England, Florida, parts of the Pacific Northwest, maybe 2 weeks away from peaking, but the rest of the country probably faces a hard month ahead of us. I don't think you're going to start to see a national peak until we get into February, because there's parts of the country that really haven't been hard hit by Omicron yet, and the virus will spread around the country.
So we're talking facts here. We're not talking about, again, you know, I'm not trying to be anybody who's trying to spread this as it's a national disaster. It's just going to be an inconvenience for a while. Yeah. Some people are going to get pretty sick, but just so many people not on the job, Dalton, that's going to affect things
that, around here. Yeah, that might end up being the biggest issue. I don't know. If you went out to get some fast food or to a restaurant yesterday, was your service affected? I really think this could end up being a good thing, this Omicron variant. I've used the term several times the last couple weeks, nature's vaccine. Mm-hmm. This thing is spreading so quickly, and we had a story about it even in Antarctica at this point. Like 15 of the 26 people at a certain station have tested positive. I think that the way this is panning out, it really seems like very few people I know are having major issues. And everyone I know that's tested positive in the last couple of weeks have all been vaccinated.
So, yeah, exactly.
And a lot of the people I know are vaccinated, but I haven't met one person I know who's unvaccinated who's tested positive in these last couple of weeks. And maybe that's because those people, myself included, have already had the virus.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that it was impossible to catch it twice after listening to, like, Dr. Peter McCullough was on Joe Rogan and a couple others. My dad went. He had it last year after Thanksgiving. Was feeling not well again after Christmas this year, went and got tested, and he thinks for the second time that he's had COVID. But again, compared to last year, it was nothing for him. This was a much easier version of it.
This is Gottlieb also talking about schools. I think this is interesting. He's like saying, open the schools.
You know, in terms of school, I think the imperative needs to be to try to open schools. What you're saying by closing schools preemptively, and even colleges, is that you can't possibly control outbreaks in those settings. And I just don't think that that's the case. I think with the tools we have, with prudence, with the knowledge we have about how to control this infection in those settings, you can do a pretty good job of trying to control large outbreaks, certainly within the classroom.
Somewhere in that conversation, too, he talked about what you talked about. Gottlieb talked about so many people already have had it.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are vaccinated where they're not going to get that sick. If I wasn't, let's see here. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If I didn't know that I had the Omicron variant and the coronavirus and could have infected people here, I would have definitely been on the job beginning Monday. I would have been on the job now.
Ready to roll. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. You know, I was feeling 100%. But if I was a kid, I'd have been outside playing.
Mm-hmm.
If as an adult, if you needed me on the job, you know, we're just told to stay away so you don't. And in fact, you all told me to stay away.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what you do when you know you've got coronavirus.
Yeah, I guess to try to keep from spreading it.
Right.
But at this point, I'm honestly hands up. Are we going to stop it? Why not? You know, this was the argument at the very beginning. Why not let it run? I don't know.
Yeah. Ran through me. And, feel fine. 60 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, good morning.
Really can't But baby, it's cold outside.
It is cold outside. It is 36 degrees. We got down to 33 earlier today, according to Dr. Bill at the airport. And cold everywhere. 15 in Chicago. They're going to be a high today in Chicago of 23 degrees. And also, just a heads up, if you happen to be traveling to Chicago, you know the wind blows up there a lot? It's kind of windy and cold. So 23 with wind off Lake Michigan. Have a nice day.
Yeah, that's a chapped face right there.
6 degrees in my brother's town of Burlington, Vermont, with a high today in Burlington where it stays very windy as well. 13 degrees. Now, here's what's amazing, though. It never, and you would think, well, that basketball is played inside. Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is when their teams were good, they would fill it up, even in the dead of winter. So you'd have a high of 8 degrees on a given Thursday.
And everyone would be in there.
Everybody would come out. And, you know, you're doing everything you've got to do to go to a game. Like if you're at South, you've got to park somewhere and find a spot and walk to the gym and all that stuff. And they'd come out, about 3,500 strong, if the team was good. And for a while, they've been good for a while.
That's some commitment there.
Yeah, exactly. That's fan commitment for sure. Scott Gottlieb, the former commissioner of the FDA, he kind of broke it down yesterday. He was on Face the Nation, talked about a number of things with this Omicron, which, you know, we're getting these stories. It's just everywhere. And I think the story of this month is basically going to be, you know, people are, okay, people maybe hospitalizations, people deaths, that's not going to be the concern. But simply, what is this going to do to our economy with so many people out? And I think it is going to have an effect. If you look at the urgent cares, people are just lined up out the door. And as the lady told me at American Family Care on Christmas Eve, if you've come in to get tested, more than likely, you have it.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Gottlieb on when this all thing's going to play out. It sounds like he's... Well, I'll let him say.
The UK is any guide. London's already peaking. If South Africa is any guide, this is about a two-month epidemic wave from start to finish. And so parts of the country that were affected earlier, like New York, probably are going to start to peak in the next 2 weeks. Other parts within the next 4 weeks. So I think certainly by the end of February, we will be through this. If businesses need a guide of when prevalence is going to start to decline.
So the next variant is going to be even...
catchier.
Catchier and... less severe.
And, you know, I don't really understand.
Am I getting that all right? Is that the trend?
I think that the way viruses evolve, that would only make sense. And I don't fully understand the going out and waiting hours and hours and hours for a test either. Now, when last Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving 2020, when my family caught it, we were not feeling well. And I'd say, you know, we knew we had something.
Right.
And I think why you see so many people standing out, like, let's just say that you had no knowledge of a pandemic ongoing.
You just knew I was sick, right?
In general, each person, if you were feeling a little under the weather,
right,
that same person now who's feeling a little under the weather would go, you know what? Maybe I have COVID. I should go out and find out. If COVID wasn't a thing,
right.
I think so many of these people would either just stay at home for the one day that they're not feeling well or would toughen up and head out to work. But I think because everyone knows of the pandemic and knows that it's likely that if they're sick, there's a possibility that it is COVID, that's why so many people are going out.
Yeah.
Think back to the 2020 elections and going into November of last year or 2 years ago at this point, how the Republicans were these big bad meanies that were making people stand out in line and vote. But don't you know there's a pandemic and it's going around? Well, look at these pictures from New York City now and Philadelphia and even here in Mobile.
Yeah.
People waiting hours alongside other people who, even if one person there doesn't have it, it's a guarantee that someone there has the variant and you're all going to stand around or sit around each other. How is that any better than what people were complaining about and making folks stand out in line to vote? It's not. It's just differing things on which people are going in to do.
I hate to say this, but there's a chance that you caught it when you went to get tested.
Yeah,
maybe
if you didn't
some,
have it.
Yeah, maybe you had something else. You had just a cold.
Right.
And you go to get tested. Now, like I say, at American Family Care, they were good about that. They were good about, but these crowds are getting bigger and bigger. That's what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually get, it's so transmissible that you could catch it while you're standing in line to get tested.
It's like a wildfire.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm like, you know, if they have it in Antarctica, You hiding in your room isn't going to do anything here. Text from Don. He said, good morning, Dan and Dalton. Welcome back, Dan. I have to admit, Leanna has a sexier voice. Oops, that's one Leanna, zero for Dan right now.
There you go.
He said, by the way, I just passed an urgent care, and there was a line practically wrapped around the building, and it isn't even eight yet. He sent this a while back.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if there are those who have been vaccinated. If we start getting a runny nose, should we go get tested? Unfortunately, most diehard employees come to work sick anyway most of the time. So should we be forced to quarantine with a common cold, even though the symptoms are just like the variant? Don said, I can't afford to be off anymore. And that's what so many people are looking at right now. Not everyone can take off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're fortunate here that we have enough people to take up the slack.
Barely.
No issue. But
barely.
But a lot of people are saying, I can't take off. I need income. I need to go and work. So there are people, whether you want to believe it or not, who don't feel well, and their first thought isn't, I'm going to go get tested. Their thought is, I've got to put food on the table. Who gives a damn if I have a bit of a cold right now? I'm heading off and I'm heading to work. So what good is it doing if one person who wants to take off and isn't feeling well decided to stay at home for 10 days? Meanwhile, you have someone else who needs to get to work and go to work,
mm-hmm.
and they go with it anyway. At this point, I think it's just, you know, let's go to work. Unless you're old or severely immunocompromised, let's get after it, because we saw what the lockdown did last year, and we don't want to do that again.
Easy on banging on old people. So here's one of the reasons I got tested. Well, I knew I was going to get tested because I didn't feel well. That was the first time in 2 years I didn't feel well. So that was a stark contrast from the last 2 years. Like, wow, I'm sick. I have had nothing for all this time.
Yeah.
Something's up. Omicron's very, it's spreading pretty quickly. So also, I was invited to Christmas Eve dinner. Mm-hmm. with a family that evening. So I I needed to know. And the last thing I wanted to do was spread it to the people that were showing me love. So I right from the parking lot after I got tested and it was positive, I called them up, and the woman of the household was very excited. We got your place ready, Mr. Dan. We can't wait to. Yeah, you're going to have to wait.
Well, we all know that this was about you being able to watch the Georgia game alone. That's the entire reason.
Needed to bunker in.
That's right.
But so that was the reason, too. The anybody that I was going to be around, I wanted to make sure that if I couldn't be around people, then I was going to do just that. And then co-workers on Monday. You know, I didn't have the week off.
Yeah.
I ended up with the week off because Sean was like saying, man, I don't think that you need to come in.
Another text here says, Dalton, please explain how Anthony Fauci isn't in jail for paying for the study and then lying to Congress. He helped create the virus and is making money from it, and Biden still has him in charge. Dave, I have no idea why they still have Fauci as the front man there. Clearly, when he lied to Congress about the funding of the NIH and these virus studies they were doing, makes no sense. And we had the story last week. Fauci will be the highest paid employee in retirement. He'll make $350,000 a year once he retires.
I heard your story last week. You're an excellent broadcaster.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very proud of you.
This text says the next variant will be the Ouchie Fauci call.
8:30, y'all. Dan and Dalton.
8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for starting your new year with us on Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here and looking to get the year started off on the right foot. And no better way to do that than to head to McConnell Automotive and see what you have going on today.
That's right. You can check the website out, McConnellAutomotive.com. Got all those cars and all the pictures on the website and everything. Also, come by and say hi to us. I mean, it's going to be a cool day today. But it's going to be a great day. It's not going to be raining or anything. Check the lot out. Don't forget, we'll be buying cars all week. And if you got a car you want to get rid of, call Gene, 251-476-4141. He'll give you a price right over the telephone, and we will buy your car, give you top dollar for it. So just give us a call, 251-476-4141.
And these last couple of weeks have been great weeks to test the temperature control in all those vehicles, because you might have the AC on full blast over the weekend, and then this morning have the heat and the defroster on full blast. Great chance to check those out on the vehicles in McConnell.
That's right, and it happened to me this morning, actually.
Good stuff.
Had the air conditioner on when I turned the car off Friday and didn't turn it on until this morning. It was heat.
There you go. We appreciate your time, Louie.
All right, thanks.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836, the infected Dan Brennan. I guess I'm not, I was infected, and now I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty much okay from the start. But, you know, on the text line, they're asking about why I got tested and all. Yeah, that's kind of a courtesy for people around me. And that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't infecting other people. We know that, for the most part, it's kind of a mild version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I didn't want to get anybody sick. And so maybe I did the week leading up to it.
Possibly. I mean, there's no use in even, in my opinion, going back and trying to decide whether you were the cause or someone else.
It was because it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, right? It's like I saw some of these football teams early on in the bowl games and some of these NFL games, and they'd move a game, and someone on the other team would say, well, this isn't fair. We did everything right. And this team who's been affected by COVID didn't, and now we have to change our schedule. It's that whole line of thinking that the pandemic or that anyone catching it and giving it to anyone else is anyone's fault is just ridiculous at this point. Trying to figure out who the Typhoid Mary of your little friend group is just doesn't make sense at this point in the pandemic. And with this Omicron variant, as easily as it's spread and as so far it looks so light in comparison to the Delta variant and what it was doing to some folks who caught it, that I think we just need to let this thing run through. And, you know, I do know there are elderly who have had the shots and have somehow avoided catching COVID to this point. And, you know, they might catch it. And it could be bad if they're already on their last legs. Mm-hmm. As difficult as that sounds and as terrible as it is, I have family members who I'm still worried about. But if you're, you know, a regular American at this point and you're anywhere from 5 years of age to 65 years of age and you're in relatively good health, I don't understand at this point running and hiding from the virus, especially with this new variant. And we had family members in town for Christmas, and my wife's sister, who has been, you know, team fear of COVID this entire time, and she's in good shape. She works out every day, but she was terrified to death of catching this virus. And Christmas Day, she comes to our house not feeling well, tests positive the next day, and was just as terrified of spreading it. Meanwhile, my wife and I, who have two young children, were like, we don't care. Like, you're in the house. The AC is moving this thing everywhere. We've all had it. We've had everything under the sun because we have such young children now.
You've been a test case.
I think there's two different types of people now in this pandemic. The one kind who I'd classify myself as, let's just go. Let's keep it moving. Get the show on the road. And then there's others who are still completely terrified and are willing to hole up for 10, 20 days at a time to avoid catching the virus.
Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, did talk a little bit about children and this current Omicron and had this to say.
So we have to recognize this has not been a benign disease in young children. There's a perception that young children haven't been hit hard to date from coronavirus. That's just not true. We've recorded more than 600 pediatric deaths from COVID over the last 2 years. To put that in perspective, we had one death from flu in the pediatric population last year, and so far two this year. So over a period of time, we've done a very good job protecting children generally from respiratory infections. We've recorded more than 600 deaths from COVID against three deaths from flu. So this is affecting children, and particularly young children. This new strain could have a predilection, again, for the upper airway, which could be a bigger challenge in young kids because of the way that it binds to the airway cells.
Yeah, see, I don't know what he's talking about there, but
it sounds like it doesn't go as deep into the lungs, this variation.
Okay.
I want to get to some of these texts and then maybe the phones. I think we have Ricky actually on the line.
All right.
Let's see if we can save some time for him. Michael, thank you for sending this, a link to a change.org petition. Parents and students against mask mandates in the Archdiocese of Mobile schools. So I don't think they've come out and said that they're going to do another mask mandate, but there's the possibility, right? And the Archdiocese, of course, decides whether mandates go into effect with the Catholic schools. Michael said, this is a petition that's going around Catholic school parents in Mobile and Baldwin County. Lots of parents are absolutely PO'd over what the Archdiocese is trying to do over a holiday weekend. So I guess I missed that, Michael. Did the Archdiocese come out and say?
I think they did.
On with the mask mandates. He said the comments for this change.org petition are pretty entertaining. Everyone from Philip Rivers to doctors, teachers, and random crazy parents. I'd like to see how many students the Archdiocese have lost since the pandemic and going forward. The Archdiocese schools, they're the only school system in our area trying to stop the dam breaking by putting their finger in the hold.
Catholic schools within the Archdiocese of Mobile are returning to a mandatory mask policy. When they return to school, that'd be today, right?
Yeah.
According to the Archdiocese of Mobile, masks will be required. This was a story that was updated on the 30th of December from a number of the news organizations, including WKRG.
Yeah, and they're saying it this morning, as David has noted. Okay. So, yeah, the news dump even got past me on that one. Tony says, my two oldest tested positive Wednesday. My wife and I and 10-year-old were negative, all in the same house. This person says, I'm like Dan, but different. I have not been vaccinated, but I have had COVID twice before. I take a regular regime of vitamins and meds since this all started. I started to feel a little under the weather and no point trying to buy a test or nor the lines for testing. I just chilled at the house for several days and never felt worse than the first or second day and back to normal. But the Delta, Omicron, and flu are out there, been there, never left. So testing is not an easy process. So folks like myself, I just chilled at the house. And if you are feeling sick, that seems like the last thing you want to do is go wait 4 hours for a test, which you know, should have been easier to get them at home.
Well,
for sure, I think.
So I didn't have a test at home, and so one thing that worked in my advantage on that Friday morning was we wake up early. Because we do this job, right?
So, well, you do, yeah.
Well, you wake up early enough to get here at 5:58. But so I was awake and I was feeling ill.
Yeah.
So I was able to get to the I was able to beat the crowd there. At least I was on that Friday. This morning we had reports that people were there before 8 o'clock and out the door and all that. That wasn't the case on Christmas Eve Friday.
Yeah.
8 a.m. was early enough time to get me in to get looked at.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I didn't have to wait a long time. And
you're one of the lucky souls because I think most people have had to wait a very long time for tests. Said so many people are freaked out and clog the testing and get tested anytime a person rips one in their area. That's what one texter had to say. Another said, what meds did they give you? Did they give you any medicine when you tested positive?
They did not.
No?
Nothing.
Just
and I asked about
the rear and get after it.
They all slapped me on the rear. It was like it was like some sort of a ritual. I thought I just made a three-pointer.
Yeah.
So slap on the rear. Yes, sir, you've got it. No meds. Just take things over the counter for whatever symptoms you have.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had was some congestion and headache or achiness.
You know?
So took some Aleve. Took some over-the-counter, Chuck the Friendly Engineer, God bless him.
Yeah.
He went to Publix and got me what I needed there as far as some pain relief, so right. I was good to go.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you made it through.
Many great friends.
Don said, when is enough? Now Fauci and the Biden administration are telling America the counts are wrong with children being hospitalized with COVID, not by COVID. We've been saying all along a lot of people died last year with COVID, not of COVID.
I was surprised by Fauci's quote there that we heard.
And if you haven't,
it sounded like more like one of our callers.
And if you didn't, you know, pay attention to the news cycle these last 2 weeks, it was a complete shift.
Yeah.
A 100%, 180-degree turn.
It was like there's a new administration in there.
And there's a couple things, and we can discuss this politically, why the major shift. And I talked with Jeff Poor about this some, not last Friday, but two Fridays ago. So Christmas Eve was when Biden came out and said, the feds can't stop this.
Yeah.
It's up to the states now.
Then it was shortly thereafter the CDC
reduced it from 10 to 5 days.
That was early last week.
And then the comments began on MSNBC and CNN, the speaking arm of the Biden administration, the media, were saying, listen, this is just, we need to quit caring about cases. We need to worry more about hospitalizations and deaths. The same thing that countless people were suspended and banned from social media sites like Twitter and Facebook. The same damn things they were saying for the last year and a half. Now Fauci is saying, and some from the Biden administration. And because these people said it a year ago or a year and a half ago, they were frowned upon and kicked off. And it's such sheer hypocrisy on its face that's so obvious to everyone. But if it isn't the company line, then it's not true. That's how this administration rolls. That's how the left rolls now. If it didn't come from the mouth of Fauci or Biden, then you can't believe it. And they made a complete shift. Now, is that because midterms are on the way and they want everyone to think that they're the ones who ended COVID? Or is this a situation where they see things getting worse and wanted to back off of it and say, hey, our hands are off. We had nothing to do with this rapid rise in COVID.
An amazing turnabout. Publicly in the last 10 days
yeah.
from the administration.
A 180. Complete 180.
Yeah, nothing we can do about it, really. Just, hey, y'all stay safe out there, and we'll see in March. Baseball spring training
exactly.
around the corner, and COVID will be gone.
Wonder what Ricky thinks about all this.
Yeah,
we'll find out here.
We'll try to get to Ricky next time up. We're about 3 minutes away from that on FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of downtown, this guy was downtown on New Year's Eve. Trombone Shorty probably was a big reason the crowds were so big for the Moon Pie Drop. It's 8:52. On the way, it's the Jeff Port Show on FM Talk 106.5 with today's lineup. Mm-hmm. We turn to Dalton Orwig.
Jack Burrell, the Fairhope City Council president, on with Jeff in that first hour.
I'm sure.
Much discussion coming about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge
right
proposal.
In the middle of all that, right.
In hour number two, Dale Jackson fresh off of a four-month vacation. Okay, maybe not 4 months, but I think he was off a week or two. He'll join Jeff Poor at 10:30, and then in the third hour, State Representative Shane Stringer on, I'm sure, to talk some about the constitutional carry bills that have been pre-filed for this legislative session. And then at 11:30, former U.S. Representative Parker Griffith. So a full 3 hours of the Jeff Poor Show on the way next.
All the tributes to John Madden after his death and people just saying nice things about him. You had the Fox. I got to find that one that was produced by Fox.
Really good.
He got to see it before he passed away, which I think is great. Everybody always talking about Madden was just such a good, down-to-earth guy. He lived his life like he didn't have a care in the world. Well, as it turns out, he didn't have a care in the world. He made $200 million. He came off as like just your fun uncle.
Right.
But fun uncle, it should be made clear, made $200 million through his salary with the networks, and then, of course, what he did with EA Sports with Madden. And through, like you said, to a generation of kids, Madden isn't even somebody. He's a game.
He's a game, exactly. And if you haven't watched that special and you liked John Madden, mm-hmm. I encourage you because it's really, really interesting. There was Aaron Rodgers who said he and Madden, both a couple guys from Northern California, some hard-nosed guys. I can't remember if it was Al Michaels or someone else who said, you know, John Madden, a boisterous city boy. He seems just as home in New Jersey mm-hmm. as he did on the road in the Madden Cruiser when they'd stop at some town in Arkansas.
Yeah.
He just had that ability to have people flock towards him. He was kind to everyone. He didn't stop until all the hands were shaken and autographs were signed. I was thinking, watching that special, if he would have run for office, John Madden probably would have done really well at the ballot box. Now, whether he wanted to actually be a politician or not.
Yeah. He was a populist. You know, he was somebody that everybody agreed on. I like that dude.
Yeah, exactly.
He crossed religion, race, socioeconomic, rich people like Madden, people in the that are down and out like Madden.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty remarkable.
It really is. It really is. And did you know the turducken started in New Orleans?
No.
That's where he received his first turducken.
Ah, the Superdome.
A company there was making them.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans. He made them famous. They had like 30 orders 1 year. And the next year after he started talking about it, they couldn't fill them all.
I'll bet.
A little trivia for you. The turducken began in New Orleans. 5 till 9, Jeff Porsche on the way. Let's go to the phone lines. I think we have Ricky on the line. Ricky, is this you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, morning, Ricky. What do you got for us?
Look, Dr. Yeadon, Dr. David E. Martin, Dr. Van Botten, three of the top vaccine makers in the world are telling you now, they now know this is a biological, well, they knew it to begin with, a trick a little bit like one of them was. But they now know it's got nanobite technology in it. They're putting a phone and a router in nanobite technology. And this, that's what, when they turn on the 5G, it's going to, like a little bomb, go off in your brain, just snap and kill you and drop dead. I've already seen videos of it. Listen to me. We're under severe attack. Look up Dr. David E. Martin. I got to go now. I waited too long. But uh-oh. Dr. David E. Martin, Dr. Van Botten, Dr. Yeadon, Dr. Malone, all of them are joining hands. And 10,000 of them have joined, filed a lawsuit in every state with every U.S. Attorney General, everything.
Okay.
This is a bioweapon. They gave out 30% of the people that got the real poison died. 70% got a saline shot. Now, when they go back to the boosters, third and fourth boosters, they get the real poison again.
All right. Hey, Ricky.
It's absolutely killing. Everybody's going to take it. And your kids are in desperate trouble, buddy.
Thank you, Ricky. We don't want you to miss your appointment. Have a good one, man.
So, okay, let's get this right. According to Ricky, trying to write down these names. I think one of them was Dr. Dean Martin, but we had
Dr. Sammy Davis, Dr. Frank Sinatra.
The entire Rat Pack says this will blow your brains out.
I don't know if you heard last week. I apologized to Ricky because
I missed all that. That was an 8 o'clock one
yes,
of these.
It was.
Okay, I missed it.
And a lot of what Ricky said last year, especially in the very beginning, and you know, I was not alone, but I certainly had my fun with Ricky on the air. Some of what he said, I won't say even close to a majority of what he has said, has come true.
Well, is my head going to explode when they turn on the 5G?
That's the one I'm not sure about. That's the one.
I'd like for you that be the one that you are sure about because it's my head.
I will say that the wariness that Ricky had regarding all of these vaccines, mm-hmm. and even though he's kind of, you know, taking the ball and run with it, and he thinks that someone will snap their fingers and all the vaccinated will just keel over.
He's run outside the stadium and climbed a tree.
You have to admit, some of the stuff he has said has come true.
Well, when you say 90 things, you know, we can't even document them all. When you were taking notes on what Ricky had to say, remember you were kind of keeping up with it, and
yes,
and you were going to turn it back on him if they.
I had a spreadsheet of when exactly everyone would die.
Right, and that was, if I believe, it was September or October, and here we are. So
we were supposed to have died multiple times over. Yes, according to Ricky's timeline. But just like, you know, Fauci. Move the goalpost. It's fine. No one will ever ask questions. Just keep moving it back.
Ricky and Fauci. We did have a funny text saying, can you get Ricky and Fauci on the same conference call? That would be something right there. All right, so Jeff's on the way?
Jeff is on the way, coming up in just a couple minutes. And then Midday Mobile, live at noon for Mobile Mornings. We will be back in action tomorrow morning at 6.
I think we did well today, Dalton.
I think so.
Return appearance on Mobile Mornings. 8:59 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, see you tomorrow at 6.